You're now listening to Sleep Time's Over.
Sleep Time is over, baby.
Welcome back, jabronis, to another episode of Fitness, the other F word. I am your co-host, Summer Lee, a.k.a. Liz Lemon. And I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Aaron Sakai, a.k.a. Jack Donaghy.
Hey, that's a 30 Rock reference.
Yes!
I got it right off the bat.
Yes,
right. We're in it to win it.
Yes, that was a good start. It was a good start.
Welcome to the very Republican episode of the show. We're both wearing red. Summer, for the video people out there, is wearing the exclusive, very highly exclusive, making IG Live great again, tank, racer tank. Why is it called a racer tank?
Racer back, because the back is this.
Oh,
it's a style of cut for your tank top.
Got it.
A very good cut for working out, I must say.
Oh, fantastic. It's a great cut. I have the red Everyday Better shirt, so we're clearly radical rights.
Yeah.
You know, trying to undo the wrongs of the world of fitness. Did that come out right? And I forgot to put this away. So, we all kind of props. If you notice, the chair behind there, we're still in the... What did you call this?
The casita.
I love it.
See.
And this is for something for later on. And then you got our not sponsor. Thank you, Summer. This is the 20 gram protein 2.0. It's called protein 2.0.
Protein 2.0, yes. Right.
And as always, shout out to our good, longtime, close personal friends, the Cereal School. That's been here for months now.
That has. Oh, another non-sponsor, potential non-sponsor.
Oh. What is this now? This looks like... I thought it was drinking beer.
Liquid Death. I know. Everybody... I posted a picture on IG about this, and everyone's like, oh, Sam, are you drinking hard or what? I'm like...
Wow.
I don't drink anything except water and protein juice.
I like the mocha impersonation. But it looked like beer.
I know. It does look like beer.
What's this in it? What is it?
Liquid Death, Mountain Water, Murder Your Thirst.
But why Liquid Death, though? What's the gimmick for calling itself Liquid Death?
I think it's just to attract weirdos like me that like gothy, emo things water? Like skulls.
So skull water?
Oh, yeah. This, yeah.
Is there caffeine in it? Like,
there's nothing in here.
It's water?
But water.
But it's called Liquid Death, though. Marketing team. Really?
I mean, it got me.
Well.
Whole Foods.
How much? Yeah. What doesn't get you?
Ta-da! My friend,
hashtag you might be easy. So
you're not wrong. All right.
What are we talking about now?
Okay, so remember,
what's going on here?
We are not medical doctors.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't medical advice. Oh, and there is an official email address for the show.
Oh.
So it is fitnessfword@gmail.com. fitnessfword@gmail.com.
You know, it just dawned on me, because I have a website, right? Which means I have a domain.
Yeah, I know.
I can make the email.
That's okay. I was thinking to suggest that to you, but then I remembered a ton of podcasts I listened to, for whatever reason, they just use Gmail as well.
So
I
was like, free.
Yeah, but they're like huge, they're with quote unquote huge networks that could, you know, provide them with a slick email. They all do it. They just say, yeah, it's at gmail.com. So I figured, you know, if your mom's house podcast and best friends podcast are always doing that.
Your mom. I got it.
fitnessfword@gmail.com. So
all right.
If you have questions, if you want to hear two very opinionated people talk about a topic, email us. That's my
I need to create an email for you. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a big meeting. That email might change. But for now. Mrs. Drizzy, email that one. All right.
Not that you don't know how to get in touch with me, Mrs. Drizzy, but
has Mrs. Drizzy emailed that fitness email yet?
No, because I didn't tell her about it yet.
Oh, damn this it. World official. Premiere.
This is official.
All right.
It's the number one fan of the show.
Mrs. Drizzy, I tell you, it's like I miss you every day, yet I only see you maybe twice in my life. So, yeah. What are we talking about now?
So, we've been kind of like mentioning the topic we're going to be talking about today in a couple of the previous shows. So, what I was thinking, well, it's going to be on mental health, but not to say that, for first of all, we are not mental health professionals in any shape or the form. We're just two knuckleheads that are mental. So, get that out of the way first. But you know, it is the holidays. We briefly mentioned it in the previous couple podcasts about how it's a weird time right now. And then on top of that, it's a weird time in general when you talk about holidays. To just have a more general discussion about, I think what we're always trying to say when I think about it, when we talk about fitness and all of that, is the idea of awareness about what you're eating, awareness about your activity and stuff like that.
Okay.
So really more to say, this is a topic about being aware of the state of your mental health, especially because, again, totally weird time in general. I just saw an article in, I think it was the New York Times, that incidences of anxiety and feelings of depression are rising because of the virus itself.
Right.
And it could be compounded because of the holiday season and the fact that we can't see loved ones and our way of life has been altered so drastically. So what are your thoughts about what I kind of about the idea of not saying, hey, we're going to give you solutions or anything, but just the idea of being aware of your mental health.
When the topic of mental health comes up, mm-hmm. and it's a sensitive topic, it's a topic people blow off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a topic people laugh at.
Yeah.
Various responses to this, right? What it comes down to is, are we able to talk about it and communicate about it? And once you get that established, that's usually a nice way to start the healing process of whatever it is you're trying to deal with.
Definitely.
Talking about it. Communication.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, of course, we're going to get to the fitness aspect of it.
Yes.
Assuming. But it's the setting forth and communicating with it, whether it's with a neutral party, which would usually be the best, someone that's not family related.
Right.
And it's harder to do now because you can't visit that someone unless it's a Zoom or a Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And in another case, you're going to be stuck at home with these family people every day.
Yes.
You know, there was a time from March to April, everybody was stuck at home.
It's an intense situation, potentially. Right.
Problems arise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, domestic violence, violence in general, arguments.
Tensions. Yeah.
So where do you go with it? It creates more isolation. How to combat isolation is to communicate and in whatever possible way. And I'm not talking about like DMing people and like texting and shit.
Yeah.
Because right? You lose the tone.
Oh, yeah. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Calling people, talking to people, voices. Yeah. That's the key.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess that's the foundation of this whole thing, rather than giving solutions. It's just communication is key with everything.
Definitely, yeah.
I think we can confidently say that without causing any type of medical disruption here.
Right.
Communication is key.
Yeah, ignoring it is not the answer. That's for sure. And I think one thing that I'm noticing is when you kind of check in with yourself, it doesn't have to be this huge, negatively life-altering event in the sense of, for example, like if you are somebody that has like bipolar disorder or clinical depression or something like that, it can be very, very obvious what the symptoms are. But what I'm trying to say is, so really what I'm hoping to share and maybe have you folks think about is when you do check in with yourself, that it might just be a feeling of not being not okay, if that makes any sense, where it doesn't have to be this huge thing. If you check in and you're like, you know what, I'm at 100 and right now I'm at 80%, that might mean something and I should maybe explore that. I think that's what I meant by awareness.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the key is awareness. That's the number one thing, is identifying the problem.
Yes.
That's everything in life, if we look at it.
Yeah.
Business, financial.
Yep.
Dating.
All of it.
Yourself.
Yes.
If you can identify the problem, that's step one, usually in any type of 12-step program. Do they even have 12-step programs?
Dr. Drew says yes.
Dr. Drew's still alive?
He is.
All right.
He has a weird, crazy podcast I listen to sometimes.
Of course he does.
Yes.
Everybody's got these podcasts. Fuck.
Weirdos.
What, right? God, we're such a slippery slope with this show. You had to pick this kind of topic, right? So the bottom line is identifying the problem, awareness, and communication of that problem. If you are a person that does not like to communicate, ask yourself, why is that?
Yeah.
What stemmed from that? Are you just not a talker? And there's people that are just not a talker.
Yeah.
If you want to not address a problem, is that your thing? Is it you just like to not have confrontation? That's a thing.
That is a thing.
That's a thing in Hawaii.
Yeah, totally, totally. I've been guilty of it myself. Right. So, we're yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So
we're almost one Asian. Well, we are one Asian, I guess. Yeah.
We can become one later, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying that if you have these tendencies, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
No one's wrong. No one's perfect. But has that life leading yourself to address problems that way gotten you the solution that you wanted?
Exactly. I think that's a really good point too, where I think a lot of the times we'll bring in judgment to it. It's good or it's bad. And I think what Aaron is saying is spot on, where there is no judgment to this. It's something that arises and you want to be aware of it and then you want to address it. But it's not good, it's not bad, just kind of take that out of the equation, because I think that brings a lot of emotional baggage to something that you know it's already tricky. So why add this component to it?
So without going too delving into this whole therapeutic psychological thing, because we're going to get bashed,
and we're not experts in it,
right? let's look at a real world example before we go into the fitness aspect of it, which is a big topic in itself. Yes. Dating. Everybody loves to talk about dating, right? Relationships.
Especially during a pandemic. It makes it so much easier.
Well, shout out IG polls that are just kind of pissing me off.
That was so funny.
You know, apparently all of you guys are having sex on during this whole thing. I thought we were going to be all in this together, gang.
Seriously, it was talk about living on the edge. You guys are
having sex. Screw it.
You guys are...
Literally, screw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, sex withstanding. We're talking about just the relationships of relations here.
Yeah.
You have an argument with your spouse, your mate. How do you guys deal with the problem? Does one walk off? Does one go drive and not come back? Does one go in the garage, go smoke? And then does one bring it up to the other one and be like, can we talk about it?
Yeah.
And then the other one's like, nah.
No,
I don't want to. That's my debut, my female voice on the show. Yeah. I don't want to do it right now. What's her problem? It has a lisp. Sorry.
Yeah. Well,
if you're going to have a relationship dilemma, do you address the problem as a couple or do you not address it?
Mm-hmm.
You always hear back and forth, I wish my man would talk to me more. I wish my man would express his feelings more. And vice versa. You have women who don't do that.
Yeah. It's,
that exists too.
Yes,
now.
It does.
All you women out there think it's only men that don't say anything. Well, I'll tell you what. All right.
It goes both ways.
What do you do? Mm-hmm. Right. So what do you do? How has that helped you? Has that gotten you to the solution? Do you just avoid the problem and then just blow it off the next day and no one talks about it and we just reset the day?
And pretend it didn't happen.
And pretend it didn't happen. Does that seem healthy to you? Does that seem like the right direction for the relationship? Has it been going well when you guys do that? That's an example of when you look at yourself.
Yeah.
When you handle problems. Are you a confronter? Are you a hider? Are you don't want to make waves or... Are you going to be just, I'm going to say what's on my mind?
Right.
And if you are any of those things, has that gotten you to where you feel you have gotten in life? Are you feeling good about it?
Yeah.
And you deeply think of that within yourself, and that's going to stem of how you feel mentally. Because if you feel good about it, that means you have confidence. And if you're a confident person, that can take you some places. Because confidence is a hard thing to grasp with a lot of people. It's tough. A lot of people are insecure in this world. A lot of people like to hide confidence by being too humble. There's such a thing as being too humble.
Yeah.
And then you have the other spectrum of being arrogant. You have the assholes. Arrogant people and assholes aren't the same thing, people.
Yeah.
It's people got to understand that. You know, Michael Jordan, for example, was an asshole.
Yes.
But I don't think of him as arrogant, though.
No.
Because he backed up what he would say.
Exactly.
And he was just a winner mentality. That can make you an asshole. But
I heard Troy Aikman was the same way. Like, he was a complete asshole, but...
When
he was playing, but he backed it up.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you can be an asshole, but then just don't be arrogant. Arrogance is something else. Arrogance is when you think you're better than everybody, and you have no evidence that you're better than everybody, and you're just coming off and portraying yourself that you're better without no type of anything to back yourself up on that, and you just look and sound like a true asshole.
Yeah.
So arrogance is the true asshole. Asshole can be very a lot of different tiers.
It could just look like hyper-competitiveness.
Hyper-competitiveness.
And some people interpret it as assholery, and it's really not. It's just ultra-competitiveness.
Someone who tells it like it is, they consider them an asshole. Somebody who says what's on their mind all the time and gives tough love to their friends. Rather than calling them passionate, they'll call them an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
So then what do you want of a person? Do you want this person to tell it like it is, or do you want this person to hide? That's why it's a complex situation.
It is really complex, yeah.
So you look at yourself as a person, internally, I wouldn't ask anybody just yet. Just look at yourself as a person and be like, how do I handle my issues around the town?
Right.
World, life, everything. And then has it been helping you? You're feeling all right with it. And go
That's
from there.
That's true, yeah.
So.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, especially when you talk about that arrogance, because whenever I encounter it in real life, the thing that I think of the most is I actually feel sad for that person because there's a severe lack of awareness. Right. There isn't that self-reflection to realize how freaking ridiculous you come across.
Correct.
When you see that arrogance
Correct.
Expressed.
No, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Arrogance is a stem from insecurity.
Yes. Yeah.
The more arrogant you see a person, the more insecure they possibly are.
Definitely.
Everybody has different levels of insecurity.
That's the irony of it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, or the tragedy,
I guess. Trying to hide their weakness by being something that they are not. Whether they talk a lot about themselves, whether they use I in every little fucking sentence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That are signs, quite possibly, of insecurity, confidence lacking issues.
Yeah, for sure.
Arrogance.
I think so.
Because if someone is confident and secure with who they are, they are not going to, one, talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They are not, two, going to just brag about some bullshit.
Yeah.
And they're not going to say what they're going to do and all of this. They're just going to do it.
Yeah.
And you see the result. You don't see them talking that they're going to do it. You just see they've done it already.
Yep. Yeah.
So these are factors of, I guess, if you're trying to figure out yourself on a general sense here,
generally speaking.
Okay. That's the foundation, I guess.
I mean, it really is the foundation of everything, truly, right? I mean, that self-reflection and that awareness. And, of course, not saying it's going to be an easy path. This is going to be a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
And it's not even a sense of, you know, if what we're saying right now is makes you feel a little bit of panic or like, oh God, I don't want to do any of that. It doesn't have to be this huge weighty thing. It can just be a very gentle, like checking in on a, you know, first thing in the morning. How do I feel? It can be just as simple as that. Like how do I feel? It doesn't have to be let me go meditate for 5 hours and journal.
No, don't write a paragraph, right?
Yeah.
Don't write in script. Make it simple as possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean, we all got our routine. We all have our schedule of the day. Are you taking some time out of the day to, like, sit and reflect?
Yes.
And be like, okay, where am I at right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great question to ask. Where am I at?
What do I got to do today? Okay, am I good about it? I feel good about doing it. Do I not feel good about doing it? That's what you just check in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to determine a lot. That's going to determine whether or not you understand your problems. Back to that again. Back to identifying the problem.
Yes.
Back to addressing the problem once you've identified it. And where do you go once you identify the problem? What do you proceed to do?
Right.
What are your vices? What are your therapies? Are you going to go professionally? Or are you going to go not?
Right.
Are you going to be stubborn about it? Or are you going to be not? Because then you have that. You have to be like, I don't think I need to talk to a therapist. You have those guys. Like,
yeah.
I need to talk to a trainer.
Right, right.
I don't think I need someone to fix my computer. I can do it myself.
Yeah.
So you got that.
Yeah.
Are you going to be show humility and open yourself up to wanting to get an outside opinion, get help, and get assistance?
Yeah.
That's not easy. It's not easy for people.
Yeah, it's not. And I think the stigma against getting outside help doesn't help the matter. It makes it harder to do. And I can't stand that. I really don't like that at all. There shouldn't be a stigma to saying, hey, I just want some help on this. I'm, you know.
Right. Ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah. it doesn't have to be this big, huge thing. We go to the doctor all the time for physical ailments or just for checkups. It might be nothing wrong, but you want to just check in, make sure everything's, you know, functioning properly. How come we don't do that with our brain and our mental health? It's just as important. That seems very backward to me.
Very much so.
Yeah.
We take care of ourselves the least.
Yeah.
That's ongoing. It goes from rich person to poor person mm-hmm. down the line. Rich people, I mean, they have vices to control their own self.
Yeah.
And by doing so, they're damaging their body. So yes. it's the same situation. And, you know, with a poor person. So, okay, look at it like this. Okay, so we bring up the whole arrogant whatnot. One of the worst statements of all time, and this was made in a great classic thespian movie, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And it was Mr. Han. He writes on the chalkboard, "I don't know." One of the worst things you can say is "I don't know." Why would you say and reduce yourself to being a person that does not know and shows you a bit of you're not open to wanting to find out? So asking questions is very important.
Yes.
One should be asking questions. It's not being nosy.
It's being curious.
It's being curious.
Yeah.
And you have to look at the context of the question that you're asking. If I don't know someone or if I don't know something of a topic, I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. If the laptop here recording this thing kaputs right now, I'm going to ask God, this episode wouldn't air. This would be an outtake. So if the laptop kaputs and I don't have the recording, what am I to do? I'm going to not take apart the laptop because I don't know. I'm going to call someone to help me out.
Yes.
And that's all what we look at. Fitness, if you don't know how to do a squat, you're going to go watch somebody else that's teaching their girlfriend off to the side to do it? Or are you going to get a professional?
Babe, just do it like this, babe.
Okay, rest 30 seconds.
Babe.
That it comes down to asking questions. If you don't know, ask. Never say, "I don't know."
Yeah.
You can say, "I don't know," but quickly turn that over into, "I don't know, but let me find out for you."
Yes.
"I don't know, but let's go find out together." That's how you build a base, and that's how you build knowledge, and that's how you build, in a way, it's humility, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's how you build yourself into being someone that's not arrogant. Because arrogant people are going to pretend they know. You yes. hear that all the damn time. They're going to think they know some shit. And they're talking out of their behind.
Yeah.
That is an arrogant person. That is an arrogant person. An asshole will already know it. And they will confidently just tell it to you because they do
because
know
they
it.
Because they do know it. Because they're
the
expert.
And they will cite the references. Yes. And it's going to come off as like they know it. But in essence, the 90% of them know it. So that's how you break through all of these, I guess these barriers of trying to figure out who you are,
yeah.
Figure out who you're supposed to be, and checking in on yourself. If you're checking in on yourself and you're like, "Hey, you know, the afternoon's coming up, I don't know what's gonna happen."
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Why don't you know?
Yeah.
What's holding you back of why you don't know? Stuff like that.
That's a good question.
I mean, we got. Example, there was a telethon that happened, this Thanksgiving telethon. And there's these things that, you know, you may have seen her on it. And there's this thing, and I needed to know some stuff about what's going on as far as how are we going to get gifts for people who donate,
mm-hmm.
who's going to be on at this time, things of that nature.
A lot of logistics. Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. How are we going to get the turkeys from point A to point B? I don't know. So then I need to go ask somebody. Because I ain't sure so I'm going to try to figure it out on my own.
Right.
Because I'm tired. So therefore, I'm going to humility and humbly ask questions.
Yeah.
And get assistance. Rather exactly. than being the one to try and do it all on my own. Of course, we all have those control freak times.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a time where you're going to have to somewhat relinquish something at some point. Or if not, you're going to break.
Right. Right.
And that's the conversation you need to have with yourself in your head. To get back to the whole beginning.
Yeah. And... speaking to that as well, it's really like from like a self-interest perspective, why would you waste so much of your precious time and energy trying to figure this out on your own when you can go consult with an expert who will get you to where you want to go in like a fraction of the time with a fraction of the amount of effort and with probably none of the tears. And I can say that about everything. Like if a laptop situation happened, consulting somebody versus spending 3 days trying to figure it out, or like learning about fitness. You could spend, you know, years getting hurt, doing things wrong, getting frustrated, or maybe even quitting, versus saying, hey, let me go talk to an expert who can get me where I'm going, you know, in a matter of months, you know, in terms of getting to their goals. It's for everything, for mental health too. It's the same thing. Like, why would you, if you have the means, why would you struggle on your own when you can have an expert say, hey, let's do this, this, and this.
Right. It's not easy. Okay. So none of this that's being discussed is easy.
Right.
Right. Because if it was easy, we'd all be doing it.
Of course.
Much like exercise, right? So it's going to be coming into really delving into yourself, your self-being.
Yeah.
Are you able to pull yourself in there and try to see what you can pull out?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. And it's not easy. It's really not easy. And it's a slippery slope of an episode, Summer. So
I know. I know. It's a tricky one.
Because there really is, you can't, because everybody's different, right?
Yes. Everybody is different.
Everybody's different with their own shtick and own spiel and own everything.
Issues, experiences. But I figured if we keep it to the fact that we awareness starting from that point, I think it would be a safe thing to say that that's a universal start maybe to this process.
Well, I guess the main event of this whole topic would be, how do you incorporate exercise to this thing?
Yeah.
Right? Because we are this exercise show, believe it or not.
No.
I've lost track weeks ago. But exercise is the thing that's always brought up as a stress reducer. I'm sure all of you have heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
Some magazine, internet, something. And it's true, because you're releasing stress by stressing the body. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else more to do it.
Right.
Of course, getting there is always the tough part. So we're going back to an episode of what's the toughest part of fitness? Getting there.
Getting there, yeah.
And that takes willpower, and that takes looking into yourself. And then what is the basis of this episode today? It's looking into yourself.
Yeah.
Can you look into yourself and address the problem? And then the next step is addressing the problem and how to deal with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at solutions to the problem and looking to the solution of, can I now go work out, where that opens up a whole can of worms?
Yeah.
Do I go to the gym? I'm intimidated of the gym. I'm intimidated of the guys in the gym. I'm intimidated of all this shit.
Right.
I don't know what to do. So then you add that fear of hell onto you. And then what? So that if you were to conquer the fitness part with the issues that you may or may not have, that tells a lot about you.
Yeah, it does.
It tells a lot. If you can start exercising through this, that conquers a lot.
Yeah.
I'm talking mentally now. Mentally. We're not talking about physically.
Yeah, yeah.
To put yourself in an environment that you do not know of, the fear of the unknown, right? Everybody doesn't like fear of the unknown.
Yes.
That's one of the ultimate top five.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you can do that.
That and public speaking, right?
Yes. So if you had to give a speech at a gym, for what reason,
boy.
I don't know why. But if you wanted to randomly walk in there and just start talking, good to you.
Do like a stand-up set, like.
Good, man, guys.
The treadmills.
How's it going? Don't fall off, everyone. I mean, if you can overcome things of that nature, that could be a stepping stone to a solution.
Yeah.
To a, I don't want to say a treatment.
I don't want to say, but
it's something as a positive.
Well, I mean, like, and it doesn't even have to be anything. We keep saying this, and we're going to always keep saying it. It doesn't have to be like this full-blown thing where all of a sudden you do start going to the gym 6 days a week or whatever. It could just be like, hey, I'm going to go for a five-minute walk after my lunch, or a five-minute walk after my dinner.
Exactly.
To start there.
Exactly.
To just get the body moving.
That's really the key. Yeah. You need to go join a gym. Just go walk around. You can walk the neighborhood. Walk a park.
Yeah. I mean, walking is like one of the best things. I love to do that. Funny enough, when I would do my walks before my schedule got crazy with school and stuff, I would actually walk by Aaron's building on a regular basis.
Oh.
Like looking up at the building, thinking, I wonder who lives here. I'm like, yeah, Aaron lives here.
Wait a minute. Okay. You did this before knowing I was at the building I'm at?
Yes.
And you would just stand and just look at the building?
Yes. I'm like, this is a nice building. And then, yeah.
Wow. Is that a sign?
It's great. I was going to say crazy. I don't know if that's the right word to say.
It's great. Yeah. See what I'm saying? I'm
amazing.
It's amazing?
Yes.
I can't believe you were doing that.
I was, yeah.
How long ago did you do this?
Up until the August, like end of September. This September.
When did we start doing shows in Havana, though? This was in September? October?
Yeah, I think we started in October. Yeah.
Wow.
I just, and school just started getting crazy, so I couldn't do my, my regular walks. Yeah.
Wow. And you looked up and, wow. I don't know what to feel right now. That's kind of just a weird kind of serendipitous kind of thing.
I know. It's very weird.
Gosh. Okay, are we done with the show?
Or no? Scene. No.
Is that the ending? We just talk about ourselves.
Yeah, we're just
and just
like,
say, you know what? Screw it. And just like, yeah.
We're done.
Just dream.
Well, I did want to say, just personally for myself, because I wasn't always super into fitness. At one point earlier in my career, I got really focused on my job, and I basically just stopped working out. And when I look back on that period of my life, I'm pretty sure like I had you know moments when I was depressed because I wasn't doing things to take care of myself. I was just working too much. Again, I'm not saying I had depression. I don't want to, you know, diagnose or anything because, I'm not an expert. But I did have these moments where I felt depressed. So I think having exercise in your life certainly does help. And it complements just having a healthier lifestyle.
That's it?
Yeah.
That perfectly sums it up?
Yeah. So I guess we're going to purposely keep it pretty broad for this topic. Really, like I said, the intention was to first be aware of it and then to kind of just to discuss why fitness is a nice complement for not just your physical health, but your mental health. I think also kind of speaking about the exercise part, just to kind of share, because sometimes it does seem counterintuitive. Like I remember when I first read how if you're stressed out, you should work out. It didn't seem, yeah. It seems counterintuitive because like you're going to stress your body when you're already stressed
out.
Right. Has anybody ever asked you about that point? Because when I first learned about it, I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, look at the symptoms of depression.
Mm-hmm.
What are the symptoms, main ones usually mentioned? Sleeping long.
Mm-hmm.
Staying up late.
Yeah.
Not moving around.
Right.
Staying in your bed all day. Not productive. Not walking. Staying in your room.
Mm-hmm.
Not moving around.
Yeah.
So a counterintuitive way to get rid of that would be to move around.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you would look at it. Because usually a depressed, usually, doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't feel motivated to do anything.
Right.
So they not move.
Yeah.
And that's it. So they don't get the endorphins. I don't like using that word. It's such a played out word. But those type of things, stress to combat stress.
Yeah.
Getting your mind off of what you're thinking of. Because when you're lying in bed all day, what are you doing? You're thinking about problems. Because you got no one else to think about.
Yeah. It's just kind of like,
you're just sitting in bed watching TV, but you're not really watching TV, and you're just thinking about all these things that are eating away at you.
Yeah.
So you have nothing, no other avenue, no other channel, no other type of hobby, no type of interest. So then that's all you do.
Right.
Fitness will be something that would be to get your mind off of it mentally and physically because you're up and about moving around.
Right.
You're doing whatever, walking, weightlifting, whatever.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
So that's kind of the whole stress over stress thing. I mean, I haven't really gotten that a lot, but that would be like what I would say to tie it in.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also it's you don't want to wait. I'm always amazed at, you know, that mind-body connection where I think you don't want to wait till you feel better to start exercising. Sometimes if you start exercising, you might start feeling better.
Exactly.
Yeah. So bottom line, I wouldn't wait for one to get to the other. Try it.
No.
Try it the other way too.
Just look at what's not working. Do the opposite.
Yeah.
If you've been just not moving around and you feel
that's
bad,
a big one. Yeah, just do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
Yeah, you know what doesn't work, so maybe I'll try. And
well, this is what I tell clients. I mean, I'm looking
that's
like
a great
okay,
way
so
to put it. Yeah.
For example, a client saying, "Okay, I'm still not losing weight."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are you doing? Are you doing A? Yes. Are you doing B? Yes. Are you doing C? No, I haven't done C yet. Let's try start doing C. Because you haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Let's cover all grounds and eliminate all the options. That's how you do it this thing.
Systematically, yeah.
You systematically do the opposite of what you've been doing. If you've been That's drinking great. A lot and you're trying to lose weight,
yeah.
Try not drinking a lot. And see what happens after that.
With smoking,
right.
Eating, all of it. Yeah.
Trying to lose weight, you're not eating fried food, for example, but you're still gaining weight. Okay, what else are you doing? Oh, I'm eating rice still a lot. Okay, let's try not eating rice this time.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. Oh, but I'm still gaining weight. What are you doing? Oh, I'm not eating rice. I'm not eating fried food, but I'm still drinking a lot. Yeah. Okay, let's try not drinking a lot.
Yeah.
Process of elimination. Do the opposite.
Exactly.
If you're staying at home all day, you're sleeping around and not doing anything, and you're just thinking about a problem, do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
Get out of the bed. Walk around. Get out of the house.
Check in. See how you feel. Yeah.
That would be the opposite.
So, but wear your mask, right? Uncle Kirk said wear your mask when you're outside.
As we're doing this socially distant show. We're outdoors in Havana, though. Shout out to anyone out there that has not said anything about how close we are sitting next to each other.
We're outside.
God. We're outside and we're close.
This is a fisheye lens. I'm actually like 30 feet away.
That looked kind of 3D, what you just did with that hand. Look at that. Right. And I can just be like that.
Yeah. See? See how far away he is?
You can do that. And now here's the video segment where anybody listening to this on audio is going to be totally
They're like, I don't
out.
Know. I don't know what
the
you're doing. What
the fuck are they talking about? But I can just go back and forth like that. And I can play with the mic like that.
That was a little bit ASMR. There we go.
We'll try editing that.
We have to whisper. We have to whisper a little bit.
This better be the ending of the show.
Okay. But yeah, so... It's a topic that we're not qualified to explore very deeply. But I did want to just bring that up.
Yes.
To just acknowledge
real
that.
Real world situation.
To check in on that That's stuff. It. Yeah. Right. But, so anyway, that's that. But I did want to discuss, you know what, done. I didn't get your thoughts on, because we did have a brief hiatus because Aaron had to recover from the extravaganza of the Teletron and all of that stuff. So, like, did you have any further thoughts? I know you had a kind of a wrap-up post Teletron when you actually the day of Thanksgiving and you gave out the turkeys and stuff like that. But any other thoughts or anything with some time, with some space?
Incredible event. Mm-hmm. Gave away the 100 turkeys. Made over $9,000. Incredible. Humans are for the win again.
Yep. Yeah.
Shout out to you deadlifting 200 reps?
No. It was 100. 100? It was 100. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Shout out to you doing that. Shout out to everyone donating. Shout out to everybody taking the time out.
Yeah. That was amazing.
It's just an incredible feeling to see people throughout this weird year. Do positive, good things for people they don't know.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, amazing situation.
Yeah.
And if everyone can do something not as grand as this, mm-hmm. but anything, just help each other out. Just help our fellow humans out. And that's really it. That I don't want to sound cliche, but that's really it.
It's
that's
the truth. Yeah, it's the truth.
We can survive throughout this whole thing.
It's together. Know? Yeah.
Got to be together and just... cut the bullshit.
Yeah.
That's out there. And you know, cut the being selfishness out there. There's a lot of that. And, I have hope.
Yes. I do too. I do too.
Hope in humans.
Yeah. And then what else do you have coming up? Because I know you got some this stuff. This is going to come out on Friday. So
we hope.
Yeah. It will.
All right.
School's done. So I have time.
All right. School's done for like, what, you like a day off? Make use of it. Well, I guess if this show comes out on Friday, then we're going to look at December 16th. It's going to be Rick Blangiardi, the new mayor.
Yeah.
He's be back on. We'll find out what he's going to do.
Yeah.
In the first 90 days and whether or not he's going to get rid of the tier system or not.
Right.
I'm going to bottom line it. He's not going to get rid of the tier system. All right. Okay, all you guys that are excited that he's going to get into the office, he's going to open the door. You know, I'm just going to get rid of the tears right here. He's going to do it. I don't want to take care of it anymore. Okay, Aaron, that's what I'm going to do day one. He's not going to do that, okay?
That was pretty good. Yeah.
It just depends on the mood, I mean. But he's a conservative man. He's a businessman.
He's a
businessman that's not going to make some rash decision.
Yeah.
On day one, and then all you bandwagon political people out there, I get it. You guys are all excited because you're into politics for the first time ever in your life, and you have nothing else better to do, and you're all excited, and you think that this is like some movie, and he's going to come in there, and he's going to just eliminate the tears, and we're back to fully opening.
Yeah!
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And then, you know, you got this vaccine situation coming out.
Yeah.
We got that to unravel. But, yeah, Rick Blangiardi will be next week along with Chris Hipp, who was on before, the official COVID analyst of the show.
Expert.
He's been on several times.
Yeah.
He's a clinical pharmacist. So we're going to talk about the vaccine's coming out on the 6th, on the 15th. So it would be perfect to have him on.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on right after Rick to talk about what's going on with the vaccine distribution.
Yeah.
How are they storing it? That ain't easy.
No.
The
no.
fridge situation the fridge, is real,
the
people.
Fridge, yes.
Hospitals don't have that shit. So what are they going to do? And they don't come cheap on making some minus 80 degree temperature. Why Hata don't have that, okay?
Yeah.
So Mattson don't have that, right? So it's some tricky shit.
Yeah.
So we got to figure out what they're going to do there. And then once they start distributing it, how are they going to get it? Because it's not mandatory.
Right.
Okay, so people, it's not mandatory. So you can give it to frontline worker, and the frontline worker can say no. And then what?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we got to see who's going to take it, who's willing to take it. We need people to take it. So all you guys are afraid. I'm not going to take it. I don't want to be the first one to take it. Okay, enjoy tier one. What are you going to do?
Right.
Right? And then you got the old folks homes. What are you going to do there?
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Are you giving it to your grandma? Are you giving it to your mom? She's 90 years old and she's pooping on herself. Do you think she deserves the vaccine? She's got dementia and doesn't remember who any of you are. You think she deserves the vaccine? Are you going to pay $150, $250 bucks for a vaccine to a person that's not going to remember you? Is that worth it or not? That's a decision, right, people?
Yeah, that's real questions.
So, things to ponder on this very interesting, heavy episode of mental health.
Yay!
Oh, shit.
Okay, and then you still have ongoing, as always, the 94 Review show, right?
Oh, yeah.
On the podcast.
Yeah, speaking of depression. God, that was awful to say, huh? Yeah, we got the 94 show still going, and that's always continuing on, where we just, you know, delve into pop culture, whatever that means in 2020.
So I do have thoughts about the last episode. You're mentioning how Outkast Players Ball is the best Christmas song.
Yeah.
It is not the best Christmas song. How dare you?
Oh, God, help us
all. Well, first of all, on that Christmas album, the LaFace Christmas album, the obvious best track was TLC's Sleigh Ride. Put that aside. It's not a good Christmas song because a Christmas song should have some lightness, some levity, some nostalgia. It was just Outkast rapping and mentioning snow. It's not the same thing. My suggestion for greatest hip-hop Christmas song, I know you're going to roll your eyes at me. I can feel you already doing it. Is Christmas in Harlem.
Christmas in Harlem?
Yes.
Sung by who?
Kanye.
Oh.
And Teyana Taylor is in it. I know there's like several versions. The one I'm the most familiar with is with Teyana Taylor and that other guy that I can't pronounce his name. Prince? I don't know. I don't even know who he is. His verses weren't that great anyway to me. Well, let's be honest. Teyana Taylor saves that song and makes that song, but she saves and makes everything because she's gorgeous. But I'm just saying, that's the best hip-hop Christmas song.
Let me just say this. First of all, we put TLC out of the conversation. Because that's not a hip-hop group. All
right, fine. They're not a hip-hop group.
When that song originally released, Players Ball, the chorus mentions Christmas Day in it.
Yes.
Because it was a part of that LaFace family.
Okay.
Christmas. So therefore, Christmas was prominently said in that song. But to make it marketable for the rest of the year, they switched it out. Players Ball is coming on that air day. As a part of Players Ball is coming on that Christmas day.
All right.
So therefore, I hold that as the Christmas song because I'm not listening to Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. song is god awful.
No, that song is not, I don't like that one at all. Correct. But you must admit that doesn't have the feeling, like Player's Ball doesn't have that Christmassy feeling of like happiness and warmth and.
Let's look at the other spectrum of Christmas.
Okay.
The commercialized, forced happiness that is Christmas.
Okay.
We are forced to be in love. We are forced to be happy. We are forced to be happy at a specific time of the year.
Yeah.
We are forced to love everyone. We are forced to have peace on earth.
Yes.
We are forced to get gifts for people. We are forced to have work parties, to give gifts to people that you work with that you don't really give a rip about. This is 2019.
Yes.
So therefore, Christmas has many spectrums of emotion.
Okay.
Depression is very high.
As we mentioned.
In Christmas.
Okay.
So what an ender to this episode, huh, everyone? Christmas can be looked at subjectively and different in many aspects. In 2020, what is Christmas? I've said this several times.
Yes.
Are we going to a Christmas party in 2020?
No.
No, we're not.
No.
Are we going to a Christmas work party? Are we going to have a secret Santa?
No.
No, because we need to wipe it down because we're not going to get no mystery gift. No Christmas exists in 2020. Have your tree. You sing your silent night. Round the virgins up. But it doesn't matter. So you can pretend to be happy. Round young virgins, right? That's how it went.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay.
Nuts roasting on the fire.
Yes, that's right.
Right. It's all not going to happen anymore. Because it's a new era. All right?
We're not talking about the jacket either.
No. No. So I ask all of you, please, don't look at it as one emotion. Look at it as all. Because that's all we've got in 2020. That's it I got. That's all I got.
Yay! All right. Okay. Okay, gang. So yeah, he's gonna take his tissues and do terrible things with it. So anyway, remember fitnessfword@gmail.com for now. Where can they reach you?
Where can they reach me? I'll tell you where you can reach me. All right, Sleep Time's Over show. We got the Instagram thing, YouTube channel, sleeptimesover.com. If you want the shirt that Summer sat on, show yourself off here. Jesus. Yeah, do that to end it out. Now that's your views. If you want this tank top, yeah. DM the show. I'm not going to put this on a massive produced thing. Making I Do That Great Again. That looks crazy, like a 3D show. And is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
And I'm at Swayze808 on Instagram. And we will see you next week. Wash your damn hands.